given a little thought to something today. I don't know how many of you were with us last meeting, and we had a revelation that was given to Gene Fahey, and basically was that there would be a strike on the United States. And then she got a revelation of a tall, beautiful, tremendously big tree that had been cut down in the very likeness of Daniel chapter 4, how that the tree was cut down. And at the time that happened, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, lost his mind for 7 years and began to devour the grass of the field, or the flesh of the world. Field is the world, according to Jesus, and according to Peter, grass is as flesh. And we know that this was a prophecy, because I've taught on this before, that I believe that that prophecy was about to happen to America, and she had this awesome vision, which we have on our site somewhere. And I know it's a prophetic revelation that America is about to be in that situation, much like Nebuchadnezzar at the head of Babylon devoured the flesh of the nations, that actually America and her leadership are about to do the same thing. Matter of fact, lose their mind for seven seasons, or seven times, actually, seven times, which in the book of Revelation tells us are years, 7 years. Well, we've been knowing this was coming, and we're starting to get a lot of confirmations of it. And Gene's, of course, was one confirmation of it. Well, I want to remind you of what we had seen and show you a couple of confirmations of this in Jeremiah 25. We noticed in Jeremiah 25 that God said that he would bring Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon against all the nations round about. And as you know, since America conquered Iraq, they're pretty much the king of Babylon. And now we're beginning to go into the nations round about. And those nations were listed there. We know that America right now has a disagreement with Iran. And that's one of the nations that are listed there that the Bible says they will be utterly destroyed and made desolate. And it said there, of course, that Babylon would keep those nations under for 70 years, which we saw in the New Testament is 7 years. And anyway, after keeping these nations under, after conquering these nations and bringing the cup of wrath, verse 15, to these nations, after that 70 or 7 year period, America itself, or Babylon itself, was destroyed. And it said at that time, many nations and great kings would make bondmen of them, even of them. And I want to show you a parallel to that, because what's listed in Jeremiah 25 is Iran as Elam. And Elam in the scriptures is the name of that original nation. Well, we have other seeming parallels to this in the scriptures, the same sequence of events. One of them is, I'll point out to you, in Jeremiah 49. Point out a couple of the nations that were spoken of here. Like, for instance, in 23, it speaks of Damascus being conquered by Babylon, or Syria being conquered by Babylon, being greatly afraid. And it's pointed out in verse 27, and I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. And we know that one of the nations who will join in the fight, especially against Israel, will be Syria. When the war with Iran starts, Syria will side with, they've already got a covenant with Iran, so they will side with Iran, and probably Hezbollah will be shooting at Israel. But we have the story down in verse 34, of Babylon conquering Iran. And here's the interesting thing. It's a perfect parallel to what we just looked at in Jeremiah 25, because this is just before Jeremiah 50, which speaks about, once again, the fall of Babylon. So we've got the same sequence of events here. Before the fall of Babylon, Babylon as the great eagle, as a type of America, conquered Iran. And here we are in verse 34. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam," that's Iran, "in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might." I think it's interesting, whenever it talks about Elam, it either talks about a bow or a quiver or arrows. It's very interesting that right now the problems that people are having with them, they believe is probably missiles, which is very, very similar, right? "I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them towards all those winds." Well, I suppose that's going to mean a military attack against Iran that God's going to bring against them. "And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come." And I can tell you why they're probably going to leave, because I believe that they're going to be nuked, and quite heavily. And verse 37 says, that's one reason for them to forsake their land. Verse 37 says, "I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life. And I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, says the Lord. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence king and princes, says the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring back the captivity of Elam, says the Lord." In other words, a cycle. Yeah. There's going to be a cycle. And then in chapter 50, it begins speaking about the fall of Babylon, who brought this cup of wrath to the nations that were listed leading up to Jeremiah 50. Iran being one. And another, I think, interesting text in parallel is, I think, in Isaiah chapter, I'm going to start in 21. Isaiah 21 speaks of an oracle concerning Babylon. It's called the Burden of the Wilderness of the Sea. And, of course, we've looked at this before as America, because it is a type of America. And it says, "As the whirlwinds in the south sweep through, it cometh from the wilderness, from a terrible land." Well, there's something very, very peculiar about the United States, about the whirlwinds that sweep through. It's very uncommon to any place in the world, except the United States, that these hurricanes are funneled right up into the Gulf and go up into the nation. But I believe God is using that as a parable of something something else. Because he said, "A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous man dealeth treacherously, and the destroyer destroyeth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease." Well, this seems to be an attack on Babylon by Iran. In this case, probably America by Iran. And whirlwinds are brought about more than one way. There are such a thing as nuclear whirlwinds. We've had recently several revelations of nuclear weapons smuggled across the border. One of them was recently found. And I believe that this may be the part of the treachery that God is speaking of that's coming from Iran. And matter of fact, I found a Bible code that I'm going to share with you concerning this in just a minute. One thing is pointed out here is called treacherously. I found a code that it says exactly that concerning Iran and their attacks on the people of God. Well, notice there is this attack in Isaiah 21. And if you go to, for instance, 22, you find that Israel itself is involved. Now, I know that I understand that there's more than one fulfillment of prophecies. I know people are reading their notes in their Bibles right now. You know, well, this happened then. That's true. Okay. But God uses things like this to speak over and over of repetitions of history, since the things that have been are the things that shall be. He uses things that happened in the past to show us what's going to happen in the future. And so in chapter 22, the burden of the valley of vision, which was an oracle concerning Israel, because Israel was a hill that was basically surrounded by valleys, which was surrounded by higher mountains in the beyond the valleys. And the valley of vision was a term they used for the place around Jerusalem. What aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops, O thou that art full of shoutings, a tumultuous city, a joyous town? Thy slain are not slain with the sword, neither are they dead in battle. All thy rulers fled away together. They are bound by the archers. All that were round of thee were bound together. They fled afar off, the archers here. I'm suspecting that the archers here is also an attack from one of the allies of Iran, and that would be Syria. Through Hezbollah. You know, Hezbollah has set up many missiles pointed towards Israel, and I believe that probably that's what we're going to see coming pretty soon. They were bound by the archers. I'm applying that to the missiles. All that were round of thee were bound together that fled afar off. Therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me for the destruction of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of discomfiture and of treading down and of perplexity from the Lord. The Lord of hosts in the valley of vision, a breaking down of the walls and a crying of the mountains. And Elam bare the quiver with chariots and men and horsemen. Notice it said she bare the quiver, not the bow in this case. And I think that's because Elam has been supplying Hezbollah and Hamas and Al-Qaeda and people like that who are shooting missiles into Israel ever so often. Now, they've been supplying it. They've been the quiver. Okay? And it came to pass that thy choicest valleys were full of chariots, and the horsemen set themselves in array at the gate. And he took away the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor in the house of the forest, and you saw the breaches of the city of David, that they were many. And you gathered together the waters of the lower pool, and you numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and you break down the houses to fortify the wall. It's very interesting. I mean, they're not building any wall over there, but the wall, right? And they are breaking down houses to build those walls. But I thought it was very interesting the timing of this, you know, the wall that they are still building over there to try to separate them from their enemies and protect them. But that's the problem, is they haven't put any trust in the Lord. Verse 11 says, you made also a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But you looked not unto him that had done this. Neither had ye respect unto him that purposed it long ago. Well, who did this? I know people are angry with the Iranians and Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and so on. But who did this? Actually, it's the Lord. They didn't look to him that did this. If we receive a chastening, it comes from God. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. The problem with America is they're going to retaliate. They're going to go out and do their own thing. They don't ask of the Lord. They don't ask, what did we do, Lord? how should we repent, Lord, or anything like that. It is, they always consider themselves righteous in the eyes of the Lord, and which is a lie, and go out to retaliate against the enemies of God, so to speak, right? But if there's any enemy of God, it's us, you know. The whole point is when we get a chastening, it's because we're the problem. You know, God just uses vessels, and He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He takes the same lump of clay, one part to make a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor, and He uses all those for His good and for our good. And in that day did the Lord of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy, gladness, slaying of oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine. Let us eat drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And the Lord of hosts revealed Himself in mine ears. Surely this iniquity shall not be forgiven you until you die, says the Lord of hosts. Some people would probably take exception to this, but the point is, I think we spoke about it either the last meeting or the one before, I forget, that there is an elect in Israel that belongs to God. He's foresaw them to be His from the foundation of the world. But the overwhelming majority of Israel are just antichrist and have no interest in God and never will come to God according to the scriptures. I mean, Isaiah said, and Paul repeated it, that if Israel be as the sands of the sea, it's only a remnant that shall be saved. And yet he said all Israel shall be saved when he spoke about the church being grafted into the olive tree of Israel. Because everyone who's in the olive tree will be saved. But of natural Israel, only a remnant is going to be saved. And all these fearful things that are coming upon them is so that these people will turn to God. And they will. Glory be to God. Well, to point out the once again, this same sequence of events, if you look in chapter 23, you see the destruction of Tyre. Now, last time we discovered that Tyre is a perfect parallel to Babylon, that both of them, after 70 years, were visited by the Lord, because actually at the end of 70 years is at the end of 7 years of the tribulation when the Lord comes. And here we have almost a quote from what was spoken to Babylon in verse 17. It shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her hire, and shall play the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And of course, that's spoken of both Babylon and Tyre after 70 years. Well, here you have the fall of Tyre in the same as the same type as the fall of Babylon. And when does it come? After this war. After this war. And once again, we see an attack on Babylon and an attack on Jerusalem, Elam being involved in it. In the other text, we saw that Elam was destroyed, Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 49, we saw that Elam was destroyed. And in fact, in history, that's exactly what happened. Babylon conquered them before Babylon itself fell. And it's pointed out, by the way, in Ezekiel chapter 32, that Elam was a terror to the world. And I, when the truth is known, folks, I think we're going to find out that that Al-Qaeda is very much state-sponsored. And one of them is, one very much is Iran. And it says in verse 24, there is Elam and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, who caused their terror in the land of the living, and have borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. They have sent her, they have set her bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about her, and all them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. For their terror was caused in the land of the living. There it is again, terror. Keeps mentioning this terror. I mean, I believe that they are a state sponsor of terror, and obviously most of the world believes that too, or they wouldn't obviously mount a campaign against her. Well, let me point out to you a couple of visions that we have on our site. Some of them are recent, so you may not have read them yet. One of them is a friend of ours, David Gibson, had a dream about an attack in the Middle East. And the other one is by Chuck Youngbrandt. And I'll read these to you. It's true that Iran is going to be destroyed. And it's also true that America is going to receive a pretty heavy chastening through this thing. David's dream was, I found myself in the Middle East, and I was elevated in the air and looking down at about a 45-degree angle. And there was a brown haze in the air. And I don't know who put this note in there, myself or David, nuclear explosion, There was a brown haze in the air. And I saw on the ground, in this desert-looking terrain, a tremendous eagle. It was huge, larger than a jumbo jet. And the detail of its wings and feathers was awesome. Well, you remember the vision by Gene Fahey that of the great eagle flying over America and dropping the olive branch and over New York. And this is, I believe, the same great eagle here. It represents both Babylon and it represents the United States. By the way, it also represents the Roman Empire because that was their symbol too. Because America is building this revived Roman Empire, and this is going to enable it right here. David goes on to say, it was spread out on the ground, and I know that it had just died. For 200 yards in every direction were Middle Easterners, Muslims, crowded around to look at the eagle. They were shocked. They could not believe that the eagle was actually dead. The thought in my mind was, why? Why did we do this? Well, for a year before Desert Storm, I kept hearing tank tracks rumbling in my ears. And then when Desert Storm started, the noises stopped. Now I see this vision. Well, obviously this vision is talking about a great loss of American troops over in the Middle East, the Great Eagle. And we recently put this on a page with one that we received from that Chuck Youngbrandt sent to me. I'll read it to you. This one he had back in October the 14th of 1983. And he suspected it was going to come to pass for some time. He warned Ronald Reagan and he warned George Bush, you know, at the Persian Gulf War. And, well, it never happened. But it this could be the thing we're coming to right now. And he has a picture here. The picture is on our site. It's a picture of Iran with Afghanistan on the right and Russia in the north and Iraq on the left and Saudi Arabia on the southwest. And it's a picture of a mushroom cloud over in Saudi Arabia with fleets of ships obviously coming to unload their troops in that area. And there's an arrow coming out of Russia and an arrow coming out of Afghanistan into Iran, as though Iran was being invaded, and this explosion in Saudi Arabia. So let me read it to you. It says, then Jesus spoke to me, saying, come, let me show you more. This is when I saw the Persian Gulf region, and there was a whole lot of activity. I saw Russia invading Iran, and another invasion of troops into Iran coming from Afghanistan. Well, of course, when he had this, he didn't know American troops would be in Afghanistan, but they are. Jesus revealed that Russian troops were having a hard time being blocked by fanatical Iranian troops in the mountain passes. I saw American troops being rushed in by air and ship and assembling in Saudi Arabia. Jesus then said, fleets, and I now saw fleets of warships from many nations assembled in the Arabian Sea and near the Strait of Hormuz. Then from Iran, I saw a missile being fired, which streaked over the Persian Gulf from Iran and exploded over the masses of assembling U.S. troops. A nuclear fireball consumed them in an instant, and many of the oil fields caught fire. The whole land was ablaze with this deadly holocaust. The heart of the U.S. Army was wiped out in one blow. And I made a note in my record of August the 14th, 1983, as follows. Does Iran have the bomb? I had no idea that Jesus was showing me what would come more than 23 years later. Well, I personally believe they have the bomb. I believe that they don't have any way to make them themselves. That's why they want to enrich uranium, is so that they can make them themselves. But I personally believe they already have the bomb, and that they probably have it ready to, on missiles already. At any rate, we see that it's going to be very costly for the nations to take out Iran. And but I've noticed, I did a little digging in the Bible codes, and I'll just share a few of them with you, that even seem to be confirming the verses that we just read in the Bible. Here's one that says, Iran will be destroyed. Fire by God. Well, that's very interesting. In fact, Deuteronomy 21 and 5 is where this particular code starts. I'm going to read that to you. You know, quite often the text in the Bible, the surface text, has everything to do with the code itself. Well, Deuteronomy 21 and 5. I didn't look up the rest of these, by the way. This is the only one I looked up, and it was interesting. I didn't have time to go and dig into the rest of them. Verse 5 says, And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord. And according to their word shall every controversy and every stroke be. According to their word shall every controversy and every stroke be. Well, you know who the priesthood is now in the New Testament, right? We're a kingdom of priests, according to the Bible. And it is going to be according to God's word. You know, God does everything by speaking it through his people. All of these judgments that we just read about in Isaiah and Ezekiel, it came out of the mouth of God's people. And he still does that today. The judgments that fell in Egypt came out of the mouth of God's people. And the judgments in Revelation came out of the mouth of God's people. We see the witnesses over there speaking judgments upon the nations, the beast that is coming against them, making war with them. And we also see that in Revelation 13 that the beast is making war on the saints. So if you think the two witnesses are just two people, I invite you to go to our site and read about the two witnesses, because even in the text, it's proven that they're not two individuals in the very text. At any rate, they brought those judgments. They called down the fire out of heaven, which of course is meaning those judgments, you know, upon the enemies of God. And this judgment here, it says Iran will be destroyed, fire by God, but God uses people. As, of course, the very next Bible code I found, it says Iran will be destroyed. Holocaust, hand of Bush. How about that? Well, it said it was from God, but now we see it's going to be by the hand of Bush. Very interesting. Now, that doesn't make Bush a righteous vessel, obviously, because God uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And he's not going to use any vessels of honor to nuke anybody with a holocaust, obviously. Iran will be destroyed. Holocaust, hand of Bush. Mourning coming at or in the end. Okay. And here's another one. That Iran will be destroyed by the hand of Israel. Well, that's interesting. Everybody's going to be joining in on this, right? Well, you see here that God is going to use both America and Israel, who, by the way, is the greatest nuclear force in the Middle East. And they have submarines that can reach. In fact, they just warned Iran recently that their submarines can reach them. Of course, they don't brag about having nuclear missiles. They pretty well kept that pretty quiet, but everybody knows it. And here's another one. The country of Iran will be destroyed by the hand of Israel. That was another code, but said almost the same thing. And here's one. I will vow Iran will be destroyed by the hand of Israel. See, I will kindle a fire in you for the destruction of all things. That's the Lord speaking. And he has vowed that he will use Israel to destroy Iran. Here's another one. Destruction of Iran. Israel. The sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land. And I suppose this is talking about Iran, not Israel. Israel was the hand again. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. And of course we know that God is protecting that little remnant that is in the midst of that country that he has called his from the foundation of the world. That little remnant that will come into the kingdom, or has some of them have come into the kingdom, but at least they are being protected because God sees the end from the beginning, right? Now listen to this. This one says, the treachery, there it is, the treacherous man dealeth treacherously. When it spoke about Elam striking Babylon, the treachery of Iran against the people of God is an impediment. I guess an impediment is, of course, anything that impedes. It goes on to say, a cold truth from God, March the 5th, 2006. Wow, that's today. You know, a cold truth from God, March the 5th, 2006. What do you suppose that could be? Well, I thought it might have something to do with this. I'm going to read it to you. Of course, it might have a lot more to do with a lot of other things, but I think it could have something to do with this. The Lord has kind of forced the hand of Iran to say some things that they didn't want to be heard in the West, especially. This is an article on WorldNet Daily. It was posted today, March the 5th. Iran negotiator announces, we duped the West on nukes. Top Tehran negotiator tells Islamic clerics. Of course, he didn't want it to go any further than that, but it just happens that they have some enemies over there that would like this to get out. We duped the West on nukes, top Tehran negotiator tells Islamic clerics. Academics talks convinced EU nothing afoot. So their academic talks convinced the Europeans that they weren't really out to make any nukes. Well, they were lying. Again, it was posted on March the 5th. Iran's top nuclear negotiator is in a speech to the nation's leading Islamic clerics and academics, has admitted what many in the United States intelligence have been saying all along, namely, Tehran duped the West on its nuclear program by continuing its development while using diplomatic talks to lull the Europeans into inaction. Hassan Rouhani led talks with the EU3, Germany, France, and UK, until last year, and part of his job, reports the London Telegraph, was to play for time after Iran's nuclear program was exposed by dissidents in 2002. At the closed meeting of the Supreme Council of Cultural Revolution, Rouhani boasted that during talks to forestall Iran's nuclear program, which intelligence sources in the United States saw as part of an effort to build nuclear weapons, Tehran completed the installation of equipment needed to convert yellow cake at its Isfahan plant. The Europeans, he said, were convinced nothing was occurring at the plant. Well, from the outset, the Americans kept telling the Europeans, the Iranians are lying and deceiving you, and they have not told you everything. The Europeans used to respond, we trust them, he said. This was Rouhani's report here. Rouhani's frankness, it appears, was motivated by internal criticisms from hardliners that he had negotiated away too much in recent talks with the Europeans. His comments, published in a journal available to the regime's elite, seemed designed to defend his performance. When we were negotiating with the Europeans in Tehran, we were still installing some of the equipment at the Isfahan site, he said. There was plenty of work to be done to complete the site and finish the work there. In reality, by creating a tame situation, we could finish the site. Rouhani's diplomatic skills were severely tested in September 2003 when the International Atomic Energy Agency demanded a complete picture of Iran's program. The dilemma was, if we offered a complete picture, the picture itself, the picture itself could lead us to the UN Security Council, he said. And not providing a complete picture would also be a violation of the resolution, and we could have been referred to the Security Council for not implementing the resolution. He also revealed two occasions where the IAEA learned of secret experiments from academic papers published by Iranian scientists. Libya's decision to negotiate with the United States and Britain to the end its own nuclear program brought to light the proliferation network run by Pakistan's atomic scientist A.Q. Khan. Khan's role in supplying nuclear-related equipment to Libya, revealed in surrendered documents, also exposed the fact that he had supplied advanced centrifuges to Iran. Revelations of Rouhani's candor came on the eve of tomorrow's IAEA meeting to reassess Iran's banned nuclear operations. Did you know that everybody decided not to do anything against Iran? This was their agreement until this meeting that we're talking about is going to take place tomorrow. Well, this revelation came out the day before. Now, what do you suppose that's going to do? According to UN protocol, it goes on, the IAEA review is the final step before Tehran's case is forwarded to the Security Council, where, if the facts dictate, sanctions may be imposed. Iran has just completed failed talks with Russia, which opposed UN sanctions, to find a way around the impasse. On another matter, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, the NCRI, an opposition group responsible for many of the revelations about Iran's secret program, has obtained a confidential parliamentary report revealing that Iran's legislators were unaware, listen to this, of the nuclear project that it had funded off the books. Iran's legislators were unaware of the nuclear project. Interesting. In other words, the hardline mullahs were doing something on the sly here. Rouhani's remarks show that the mullahs wanted to deceive the international community with the onset of negotiations with the EU3, said Mohammad Mohadrasin, the NCRI's foreign affairs chief, and that the mullahs were fully aware that if they were transparent, the regime's nuclear file would be referred to the UN immediately. Yeah, very interesting. The treachery of Iran against the people is an impediment, a cold truth from God on March the 5th, 2006. Whatever it was that God sent, whatever truth it was he sent, may just change the course of what history might have been. At any rate, we'll soon know. Well, it's very interesting. We're obviously headed towards something that may wake a lot of people up. It may restore the fear of the Lord. You always hate to see things like this happen. And, of course, we should be praying for God's elect through this because, you know, God decides to do things. And one thing he decides to do is not let the elect get wiped out before they manifest their election. You know, so he keeps his hand upon them. But we also know from the scriptures that God uses prayer to do that. And God has a method and a means to the end. And he desires that we do pray for his elect because there some of them and their ignorance will be found in the wrong place at the wrong time, and yet God can be a provider, a deliverer, and a savior. We have a Passover. So be praying. Be praying for God's elect.